Well, appreciate the songs, appreciate the faithfulness of the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us through His Word and through song, and realize that it is the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. I know that my words don't carry a whole lot of weight in and of themselves. We ask that the Lord would bless His Word and anoint it to our hearts to be able to receive what He would have for us of the words of life. Thought and burden that I have this morning is not a new one. It's one that is central to the gospel, one that we're probably very familiar with. It is a necessary step to anybody finding eternal life. It's the idea of counting the cost. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning in the 24th verse. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is a story that I am sure that we're all familiar with and understand the setting that Moses was raised in, from the time he was a small child to the time that he was able to make a decision. A place that every one of us come to in our lives, that we have to make a decision for ourselves, the path and the way that I'm going to take. That's about more than the way I was brought up or my family lineage and all that. It comes a place that I've got to make a decision. And Moses here made a decision. Moses was surrounded by the best that the nation had to offer. He had the privileges and the honors and the comfort and the respect and all that went with the position he was in Pharaoh's court and in Pharaoh's family. And it says that Moses forsook all of that. Moses chose to, not because they were overruled or overturned by another government, not because they were run out of town and had no other choice, but Moses made a decision that he'd leave all of that. Well, in our way of thinking, the only reason you'd do that is if you're going to something better. And Moses was. But not in the way that any rational human would think, in our own natural understanding. It said that he forsook all of that for reproach and to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why would you do a thing like that? Why would you leave something that was esteemed to be such value, and you leave that to replace it with something that is suffering and hardship and wandering through the desert with a million-ish people who don't want to be there and don't want to listen and don't want to be grateful and all these things? Why would you leave that for this? Well, it's a question that the world is still asking of a child of God. Why would you leave all of this for that? Why would you leave all that the world has to offer for the life that you're choosing to live in Christ? A decision that every one of us will have to make. The things that the enemy offers and sets before us that he tries to make look so beautiful and attractive and appealing to us. But it said that Moses chose that because he had respect unto This is found in the faith chapter that talks about faith being the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. Moses realized that there was more than the things that were right before him. There's more to life than what I see and touch and feel right here and right now. And Moses had faith to believe that. It required faith, because if you make a decision just based on how you feel, you'll make the wrong decision. If you make a decision just based on the impulse of the flesh, you'll make the wrong decision. You know what impulse buying is? You ever go into a place and you have one thing that you need to get, but along the way you see something else over it. You know what? That'd be pretty cool. You know, I'd like to have that. And you buy it? You know, marketing is all geared towards that. It's geared towards causing you to make a quick decision many times. And the way they market it, and even in worked in retail for a little while, they place a higher premium on end caps and on more prominent displays that somebody just in their thoroughfare, just in passing through the store for the one item maybe they need, they got to pass by all these end caps. And it's on those end caps they have their best displays to try to catch your attention and try to convince you that this is exactly what you need. And if you're not careful, you'll leave having spent a lot more than you intended to spend. I told the story before. I remember a time when we got out of school. Hadn't really had a steady paycheck, and we were very accustomed to living tight, as life for us made necessary at that time. Well, I got my first full-time job. I got my first couple of paychecks and thought, whew, this is nice. Well, we needed some furniture, and we went to the furniture store. That's an experience. Many times if you're in the store, well, I don't want to disparage salesmen. They're doing the job that they've got to do, I suppose. But I sometimes feel like I'm being circled by vultures just waiting to pounce. Well, there was a salesman that saw us about as soon as we came through the door, and she kind of steered us in the direction that she wanted us to go, and where we had come in intending to buy just some moderately priced furniture, I'm ashamed to even tell the dollar amount. We signed up for something way more than what we ever expected to spend on a piece of furniture. And we walked out. It seemed like the right thing to do. It was beautiful furniture, and her and telling us all of the qualities of the furniture and all of that, we made a decision. And of course, you've got to make a decision today, tomorrow. This deal may not be here, and the limited time offer, and you know, there are a lot of other people wanting, and this may be about the last one that's available, and so forth, to make a decision. And we made a decision, and we left and walked out of the store and drove down the road, and we looked at each other and said, why? What did we just do? Well, I don't know. We turned around, drove back to the store, went to the counter and said, cancel the order, and tried to get out of the store before the salesman saw us. Buyer's remorse. What was I thinking? It was an impulse. It was something that wasn't premeditated, that wasn't intentional so much as just making a decision in the moment according to how I feel and what seems right and what seems like a compelling thing to do. But there is a way that seems right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. We cannot be governed by our appetites, our desires, our fleshly instincts. The scripture talks about those whose God is their belly, who are governed in otherwise by the desires of the flesh. That's what motivates the decisions that they make. But folks, there's something more than that that we've got to have respect unto. By faith to know and understand there's something more at stake here than this item that's set right before me. Than this impulse that I feel or this thought or desire that I have. There's something more here that's at stake. I'd like to look at Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew 8 and 19. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Wasn't it a noble desire this man stated? Master, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. Well, Jesus, that's why he came. That's what he wanted. It's what he was coming to die for. But his response unto this man lets us know this individual hadn't really thought this through. Didn't perhaps understand everything that was at stake. Maybe had seen the miracles that Jesus had done and thought on an impulse, I want to follow that man. But this way of salvation is about more than impulse. This experience with the Lord is about more than feeling and emotion. It's about more than what seems like a good idea at the moment. There's a song that says, many have started, but with a few they couldn't keep pace. It's talking about, I'm going through, thank you. I'm going through. There are many who start out with the desire and with the intention and with the motive, as this man said, hey, I want to go this way. I want to follow the Lord. Peer pressure is not always a bad thing. We are to be an encouragement one to another. We are to provoke one another unto love and good works. In the multitude of the righteous and of the saints, there is an encouragement and a motivation to go the right way. It should be that way. But you know, we're going to have something more than just the peer pressure of everybody else is going down to the altar, so I think I will. Or it seems like in the moment that I'm caught up in, this is what I want to do. That's a start. But there's got to be something more than that that Jesus is trying to get across to this man. And he began to tell him, there's more here than what you've counted for. There's more than what you see on the surface here. Another one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. I'd like to look at Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14 and the 25th verse. And there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, seems almost obligatory to explain whenever someone reads the scripture the meaning of the word hate. It means to love less. To not allow that to be the center and the object of your affections. To the one who would say, let me go first and tend to the things at home. No, you've got to seek the Lord first and His righteousness. And the Lord will take care of all these other things. He said, you cannot be my disciple. It's not that you're not given permission, but you're not suited to that. You're not going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to endure. You're not going to be able to get a hold of the real thing here unless you're willing to pay the price. Unless you're willing to count the cost. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Saying this unto great multitudes that were following after Jesus. There are great multitudes of people today who pay lip service to the idea of following Christ, they are in love with the idea of following Christ, with the idea of going to heaven. But there's more to this than just having the intention and the identity of that in my mind. If we're going to be disciples of the Lord, we're going to have to count the cost of what it's going to take for us to make it. What it's going to take for us to be able to be faithful. It is the Lord's desire for every one of us that we be successful in this way. The Lord is the author and finisher of our faith, and He has made a way available for every one of us, no matter our weakness, our inhibitions, our backgrounds, our susceptibilities, or whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus has made a way for us to be successful in this walk with the Lord. We may look at it and say, well, it's good for that one and it's good for this one. I'm glad they can live it, but I've tried it and I just can't. Folks, it is possible by the grace of God for us to live a victorious life for Christ, for us to be faithful and consistent throughout our lives until the end. It is possible, but it's going to require something on our part that I don't just deal with this thing in a superficial level. I'm going to have to be willing to put my all into it, to put the Lord first, to be willing to forsake all of my ways and my ideas and my ambitions, and to seek the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have too often today in our nation this credit card mentality of, if you can't afford it, just pull out the plastic. It's so much of our society is geared towards making that easy. I'm not preaching against credit cards, but there is a responsibility that we are to have as being good stewards of what the Lord has given us. It's too easy for people to pull out their card and swipe it and buy the item that they perhaps on impulse think, I've got to have that. And instead of saying, you know what, I don't have the money for it, I'm going to have to save, I'm going to have to count up the cost here, and I'm going to have to look and say, it's going to take me so long to save, and I'm going to put away for that and plan for that. Instead, it's so easy to just pull out the plastic and swipe again. Well, there's a financial advisor that's very popular in our nation today that takes a very strong stance against credit cards and says if you go shopping, even grocery shopping, pay with cash. Because you feel the pain when you're pulling a bill out of your wallet and you're paying for something, you're seeing that transaction and you feel that more than just pulling out a card and swiping it and paying for it. It can almost desensitize you to having to count the cost of whether it's worth it, of whether what you're going to have to do to deny yourself to get that item, that's almost a foreign concept today. Why deny yourself? Just go get it. Just get what your heart desires, just by whatever means. I remember living in one place that was was a lot of poverty in the area. And I remember it seemed like on almost every block there was a payday loan company advertising, get cash quick. Get cash today. You broke, you need a loan, come in here and you can get a loan. You can walk out of here with cash. But there was fine print that a lot of the people walking into that building didn't perhaps take the time to read and understand. And that fine print spelled out the cost. The interest rates that many of those places were charging were exorbitant. Highway robbery. And yet people would go in and sign up and sign on the line and, I need the cash. I need it now. I want to go buy that item. I need something now. And there's a cost to it. There's a cost associated with it. That it was a problem that was recognized in the state and even nationwide, that people would get into this place where they would extend themselves so far, they'd go get another payday loan to pay off that payday loan and dig themselves so deep that they never get out. That basically all they're paying is the interest to just try to keep ahead. The scripture's talking about here counting the cost. Being very intentional and deliberate and knowing what is the cost of what I'm buying. Now, I believe that there is a very practical application of this in our everyday lives. As being wise stewards of the money and the means that God has given us, of not overextending ourselves. But I'm thinking primarily this morning about our souls. It is so important for us to count the cost. That's important whenever we're deliberating the decision of getting saved, is to count the cost. But do you know every one of us in the decisions that we make from day to day are counting the cost? Whether we realize it or not, in so many different, maybe small decisions that we make those decisions by counting the cost and the reward. You know, it's why it's so important for our value system to be accurate, to be correct. I want to give us an example of that. You remember the story that's found in the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. Story of Jacob and Esau. Give some of the background here for the sake of time. Esau, as the eldest, had the right of the blessing of his father and the blessing of God that was conferred with that under those times. That was something that money couldn't buy. It was valuable. It was priceless. And it was Esau's. But Esau was out in the field. And Jacob conspired with the help of his mother to take that birthright away from Esau. Now, he couldn't have taken it by force. He couldn't have convinced his father, "Father, love me more and give this to me." It had to be by deceit and guile. And so he conspired, as he did, to make stew for his father and to go in and to present himself as his brother. Well, let's read here beginning in the 31st verse. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau, it says, despised his birthright. To despise is not to say he hated it, but it's to say he didn't. When he made that decision, when he counted the cost, he counted the worth of that birthright to be less than the value of that bowl of beans. The book of Hebrews says, for a morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. That had eternal value, that carried throughout generations. Because he was hungry at the moment, because he didn't look beyond that as Moses did and have respect under the recompense of reward, whenever his decision came, he sold it cheaply. You know, the enemy is auctioning for our souls today. The enemy is auctioning for the things that God has given unto us. Lord, help us not to despise, not to count as little value the things that God has given unto us. Because the decision time will come that I have to make a decision which I hold most valuable and most important. The satisfaction of a gnawing hunger that's going to come back in a day, or something of eternal worth and value. And that really is the decision that faces us still today. The fleeting things of this world and of this flesh. Am I going to pursue after the satisfaction of those things, or after a reward that is eternal in the heavens? Well, I want to consider a little more of this cost. You know, Jesus doesn't deal through guile and deceit. Jesus' marketing plan, if you will, is not based on an impulse decision. It's not based on trying to hide from you the true cost through fine print or through an advertisement you might hear on the radio that's 29 and a half seconds long or 29 seconds and the last second is reserved for a speed reader who reads through the fine print so quickly that you really don't even know what he said. That's not how Jesus deals. He is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. And you know, it's what we see in Jesus' dealings with those that were following after him. It's important for you to know the cost. You're saying you want to follow after me, but you realize I don't even have a place to lay my head. You realize what this is going to cost you? It's not that the Lord was trying to turn people away and convince them against it. Quite contrary, he paid the ultimate price to win souls unto him. But he knew, if you're going to be successful, this is the only way to be successful. Well, what is that cost? I'd like to look at the 21st chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 21, 17th verse. Well, I'm going to go up to the 15th. For I have given you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That doesn't sound like fine print. You know, Jesus is saying, here's what's coming. Here's part of the cost of being my disciple. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. You're going to be hated of all men. The world is going to hate you because you're not of the world. Just know that it's coming. You're going to be persecuted. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4 and 4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Don't think it's strange. This is going to come. They're going to speak evil of you. You're not going to fit in. They're going to think you strange. You know, if we fit into this world, if people aren't speaking evil of us. Now, we're not out to seek that. We're not out to try to make a statement. A godly life will make a statement. It will make the separation. But if we find ourselves integrating and fitting in so well with the world, you know, there's cause there for us to examine ourselves. Lord, am I really following you as your disciple? Because Jesus said this is part of the cost of it. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. You're going to be spoken evil of. The third chapter in the 16th verse of the same book says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. There will be times and those that falsely accuse us for following Christ. Scripture says in 2 Timothy that all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Yes. Folks, there's a cost. And Jesus is expanding that. He's offering that. He's showing that to those who say, I want to be a disciple. Because a decision is going to have to be made. Which way am I going to take? These things that we've read are part of the cost. It's part of the price tag of following the Lord. But there's another side of that equation to a decision that is made about whether you buy something. How much does it cost? And what do I get in exchange for it? I'd like to look at the 16th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what the preaching of the cross is to those that perish? It's foolishness. The world doesn't understand the way of the cross. Many people that profess to be followers of Christ do so without a cross. If any man will follow me, will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. There needs to be a backdrop to every decision that we make. What's the price? And what do I get in exchange for it? People are selling their souls for a bowl of soup. They're selling what's most valuable for something that is so fleeting, for something that is so temporary and so empty. Because you can't have both. You can't hold to God and the love of mammon. You can't hold to the world and hold to God at the same time. You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose between one or the other. And the scripture talks about that choice. Those that are determined, I can't deny myself. I can't die out to that. I can't turn loose of that. I can't go there. That in saving their life, you're going to lose it. But what's it worth? What's the price tag? No fine print here. Lord, help us to be able to see the truth and reality of what's at stake in the decisions that we make in our lives. Here's what's at stake. Though I could gain the whole world. In other words, I reach the pinnacle of everything the world has to offer. In its fantasies that the devil would offer to the mind of man, to the dreams and the whims that man could have, if they could obtain it. You see, so much of that is out of reach anyway. So much of what the devil promises is exactly that. It's a whimsical fancy. It's something that's like a mirage. That the devil's, if you can just reach out there, you'll have this. And what you see most of the time is people fall short. They fall on their face, reaching so far forward, grasping, and they're left empty-handed. They're broken and they're empty and they have nothing left to show for but brokenness. But even if we could have everything the world offered, you fill in the blank of what that is. You know, the enemy knows how to appeal to every one of us. The enemy may know that something that appeals unto you holds little attraction to me. And something that is appealing to me may not to you. But you know the enemy of our soul that is bargaining for our souls is going to come offering the very thing that looks so appealing. He's going to offer it as being within reach for us if I'll just pay the price. You remember what the devil, it's not unique to us. The devil did so even unto Jesus. He took him up into a high place and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "You want this? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Here's the reward. Now, here's the fine print. You're going to have to bow down and confess that I am God. But all this is going to be yours." Folks, that's the decision that's before us. And the enemy tries to minimize the fine print and hide it to where I don't realize sometimes the decision I'm making, the impact and the weight that it carries. Can you imagine if Jesus had said, "Okay, you got a deal. Oh, thank God he didn't. And Lord, help you and me when our times of temptation and decision come to realize what's at stake. To realize as the devil's offering the glitter of this world, to realize what it's going to cost me. Even if I can obtain that and I lose my soul, is it worth it? Is the risk versus reward, is that payoff there? Is it worth it when I see that?" Whenever we look at things through human reasoning, we're never going to be able to make a right judgment, a right decision on things. We cannot serve God through our human reasoning and intellect. The things of God, man doesn't understand. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. They're foreign to him. They're strange to him. It doesn't make sense to him. Why would you suffer? Why would you choose to do that kind of thing? Why would you choose to go that way? It's not necessary to go that way. And on, that the enemy wants to try to diminish the idea that there's a choice. The enemy doesn't like people to have the realization that there's light and darkness. There's good and evil. And he's working so hard today to blend the two and mix them together that they call good evil and evil good. Say it's not really such a choice. It's not really such a decision. But what's at stake is our never-dying soul. Yes. We need to have the fear of God upon our hearts. The fear of God that educates the decisions that I make. Over impulse, emotion, feeling, gratification of the flesh, whatever it is that the enemy offers unto me, I've got to have the fear of God to keep me. The fear of man will not be enough. I'm going to have the fear of God upon my heart. I'm going to have a proper discernment, a right judgment, to be able to see beyond the here and now. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, about the resurrection, there were many people who were saying, "There is no resurrection of the dead. When you die, that's it. It's over. Done. Finished." He said, if there is no resurrection. Then let us rise up and eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's the mindset that our world has today. They're living as if there is no eternity. They're living as if there is no heaven or hell. As if they're going to, this is the extent of our existence. But Moses realized there's more than Egypt. There's more at stake here than just the pleasures that I have right around me. By faith, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, the price that it's going to cost, and the reward that I get if I'm faithful to God. This way, where Christ spelled out the cost. If we look at what I've been talking about, what the devil's offering, we look at what the Lord offers. He's already told us up front, there's a cost that comes with it. But what the reward? You know, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in me. And Paul had to have that anchor as he faced some of the things that he faced, to say, you know what? This is all I can see and feel in the flesh right now. But there's something beyond this. There's something past this. I've got respect under the recompense of reward. And as I'm counting up the cost here, am I going to suffer with the Lord? Or am I going to turn and go another way? He says it's not worthy to be compared. If so far outweighs, the reward so far outweighs the cost that I'm having to pay here, that I gladly make the decision. If I can insert these words 1,000 times over, this is the decision that I make for the Lord. Paul said in another place, those things that were so dear unto me, I count those but dung to win Christ. They lose their value. Those things that I held on to. You know, the devil makes them seem, at the time that we have it, it seems so insurmountable to be able to give those things up. I could never turn those things up. What would I have? I'd have nothing. I'd be empty. I wouldn't be able to enjoy life. You know, those are the lies that the enemy tells. But the Lord doesn't just come to save us out of something. He doesn't just come and leave a void in our lives. He's coming to take the garbage so that there's room for the riches. He's coming to take the sorrow and the mourning so that there's room for the garments of praise. He's coming to take the spirit of heaviness so that he can clothe us with the garments of righteousness and praise. Folks, what a swap. What a trade. Remember it? 15 years ago or so, they had this program, Cash for Clunkers. You bring in your old broken down vehicle. If you can somehow get it across the lot, we'll give you $1,500 or something for it. Drag it, push it, bring it in pieces, whatever it is. We'll give you cash for that. Folks, what the Lord has for us is so much better. Our natural eyes, if we are not willing to lose ourselves and find it in Christ, we'll never see it. We'll never see past the glitter of fool's gold to see what's beyond it. I'll never be willing to get rid of the clunker and see what the Lord is offering in exchange for that. So these things that we talk about that Jesus said, there's a cost here. You're going to have to be willing to die to yourself. You're going to have to be willing to deny yourself. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to be successful in this way, he's only saying it because he knew that's the only way we could be successful. Folks, why? I trust today that every one of us have made that decision to follow Jesus. And if not, oh, count the cost. Lest your soul should be lost. Well, Lord, help us that have started out for him. Why am I doing it? Am I doing it to just kind of take care of the guilt that I feel and feel good about myself? Or am I doing it to get a hold of the riches that the Lord has for us? Set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. That we can have treasure in heaven where neither rust, moths, thieves can steal and deteriorate and destroy that treasure. But we can have treasure that no man can take, eternal in the heavens. I'd like to look at another scripture found in Psalms, speaking to those of us that are saved. Psalms 106. The 13th verse. Speaking of the children of Israel, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the wilderness. And he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. You see, there are decisions that go past, am I going to live for the Lord or not? That go past that day when I make a decision to live for God. There are decisions that we make throughout our life and throughout our walk with the Lord. What am I going to place more value upon? They had something here that they desired. You could look at it and say, well, I might have desired the same thing. Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of eating this manna. I'm sick of it. My soul loatheth this stuff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this way. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of... It says he gave them their request. Okay, you can have it. But what did it cost them? What they were left with was leanness in their soul. Folks, what do we put more value on? You know, there is a great, great value in a consecrated life. It says, Lord, I know the way that I want to go. I know the things that I want. I know the things I'm going to ask you for. But Lord, I'm going to submit my way unto yours. I don't want to so persist in my ways. It goes beyond just, is this thing sin or is it not? Can I get by with this thing or can I not? I want some spiritual fatness in my soul. I want to have a close walk with the Lord. How much value do we place on that? How much value do we place on being able to hear the Lord's voice and the closeness of His presence? Because there are decisions that I can make that may not be sin, not sin decisions, that begin to rob me of my spiritual fatness, that begin to cost me something. We can see it even in relationships. Think of it as a bank account. Those of us that are married, there are actions that we can take that is a withdrawal from the account. And there are things that we can do that puts into that and builds that account by the actions that I take. So with the Lord, there are things, decisions that I can make and ways that I can live my life that have a cost to it, that have a price tag attached to it. Whether it's sin or not, maybe it's costing me a closeness with the Lord. It's costing me being able to hear the Lord's voice. And we'll have to make the decision. Is it worth it? What do I place more value on here? Sometimes it's hard for us to fully see the cost. The cost may well be to my own soul. You know, the cost may be to my children's. I may look at a thing and say, I can handle it. But you know, it may cost my children's soul down the road. There may be something that I put a stumbling block in their path. Is it worth it? Lord, help us in the decisions that we make in our lives to have the proper price tag attached to it. Here's the benefit, and here's the cost. The devil will never show that. The devil will never accurately represent it. Folks, we need to be spiritually minded to be able to see and rightly discern the things of God. To be able to have an understanding of the Lord saying, my child, here's what it's going to cost you. And the world saying, why? The world saying, why would you? Well, that law often asks, does your church make you do that? And then when they hear, no, I choose, this is the way I want to live. Well, why would you choose to do something like that? Why would you choose to deny yourself? Why would you choose to suffer? There's something more valuable than your praise. And it's the praise of God. There's something more valuable than being accepted among you. It's being accepted in heaven. There's something more valuable than temporary relief. And it is an eternal hope. Our mindset can't be that of the world's. Our valuation system can't be the world's, or we'll miss heaven. We'll miss the things that are most valuable in our lives. And Lord, help us to make the right decisions. Lord, help us in our walk with Him to truly consecrate ourselves. Lord, I don't want leanness to my soul. The decisions that I make go beyond, is it taught or is it not taught? Can I get by with it or can I not? Will I be seen or will I not? Is it sin? Is it not? It goes beyond that. Lord, is this going to draw me closer to You? Lord, is this going to result in more of a closeness with You? Is this going to lead me into more of a desire for the things of God? Or is it going to cost me something? Lord, help us to count the cost. Would You pray for me? Amen.